For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Saturday afternoon service of March the 28th, 1998, of the spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Noel is the speaker for the afternoon.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Would y'all all stand up, please? I can't pray sitting down.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just praise Him a little bit. Praise you. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, Lord. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Lord, we just come to you this afternoon, Lord God. We come as your children, Lord God. We just come. You said deliverance and healing is the children's bread. Lord, we come to be fed, Lord. Be fed your bread, Lord God. The bread that you've given us to eat, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord God. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, now as it let your rhema word go forth, Lord God, and set your captives free, Lord. Set all the captives free, Lord. Set your children free and heal them now. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you for it. Amen. Amen. If I can figure out where I put my notes and all of this. Well, I stuck them in here someplace. Hope I got the right book. I don't think I may not have the right book. I may have the wrong book. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, you know that in the Bible, that Jerusalem is a type of the church. And Nehemiah went to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall, to protect against the forces of evil. And Satan's representatives came to him. In verse 21:19, it says, Salbath the Hoabite, and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and somebody else, the Arab, heard of it. And they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? And so I, Nehemiah, answered them and said to them, the Lord of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. And so you have to tell the enemy that he has no heritage, no right, and no memorial in you. And so we say, well, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at heritage. I looked up heritage in the Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary, and it says heritage, one, something handed down from one's ancestors or the past as a characteristic, as a culture, as a tradition, as a disease, and it says et cetera. And then you can say as a disease, as a behavior pattern, something handed down from your ancestors. As they say, he's a chip off the old block. His father always had a horrible temper. So does he. And his father always chased women. They always chase women. They're always whoring around. And so forth. That's heritage. Okay. The second one was the rights, burdens, or status resulting from being born in a certain time or place. And so you have the burdens that you were born at a certain time. My father, my grandfather before him, and all of my uncles were Masons. And to please my father, I was inducted into the Masons. It was part of my heritage. And I had to renounce the curses that I imposed upon myself and my children, and ask forgiveness for worshiping the devil. For the God of the Masons is the devil. You don't find out until you get to the top that you've been through all of them. They swear you to secrecy, and then they bring you into one level, and they swear you to secrecy, and they bring you to another level. And then they swear you to secrecy, and then they bring you to another level. Each level, you find out a little bit more until you get up to the 33rd level. The 32nd level is high as most people go, but if you're the 33rd level, then that's an honorary level that they bring into people they think they can trust to actually run it. Okay. And we are subject to the results of our ancestors. And so where in the Bible does it say that what my ancestors did affect me? Well, let's look at Exodus 34, your heritage. Let's look at Exodus 34. Now, in Hebrew, the name designates the character of the person or object. It is descriptive of the person. You remember Naomi said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara, for the Lord has had dealt bitterly with me." She wanted to change her name to bitter. You know, Abram meant father of nations. We didn't have any children. God changed his name to, Prince from God. But, praise you, Lord Jesus. And so the name. And so here in Exodus 34, verse 7, Moses had took a second set of tablets and he went up on the mountain. God told him to come up. And then here in verse 4, and so he cut two tablets of stones like the first one. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Then the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now here's the Lord proclaiming his name or his nature. This is the nature of God. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. But then's the rest of it. By no means clearing the guilty. Now, if you have a New American Standard that says, or a New International that says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the children's children, to the third and the fourth generation. Do you mean that if my father was involved and my grandfather was involved in idolatry, and my father was involved and then I was involved in that Masonic, that means the curse, I cursed myself, my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren. That's exactly what it means. Now, I have about 15 places that is listed in the Bible. I'll give you two of them. Numbers 14, 18. And we'll read two of them. Let's turn over to Numbers 14, 18. And here you will find Moses rehearsing the nature. He's interceding after they refuse to go in the promised land. And God says he's going to kill them all and start over with Moses. Moses fell on his face and lay there for 40 days, fasting. And this is what he said to him. Verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. It says the same thing in Jeremiah 32:18. It says the same thing in Deuteronomy 5, in Isaiah 65:7, in Amos 4:2, in Lamentations 5:7-18, in Psalms 103, verse 17. Jeremiah 32:18, Amos 4:2, Isaiah 65:7, Exodus 20:4-6, Psalms 103, verse 17, Lamentations 5, verses 7 to 18. That Lamentations, if you will read it, tells you the results of the sins of the fathers. I have a tape on that back there that takes an hour to really go into Lamentations. if you'd like to it's well, we have a tape on it back there. But you are subject to the acts of your fathers. Now, there are some examples in the Bible. Let's look at Hosea 4:6-17. Now, we turn over to Hosea. There is Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Hosea, chapter 4. And it's verse 6. And Irma quoted this a few minutes ago. She said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they rejected knowledge, I will reject them from being a priest for me. Because they've forgotten the law of your land, I will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory to shame. They eat the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. It shall be like priests, like people. I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds." And he says, "They shall eat and not have enough." That's gluttony. "They shall commit whoredom and not increase." That's sterility. "At whoredom and wine and new wine enslave the heart." They're going into bondage, being slave. "The people ask counsel of their wooden idols, and their staff informs them." That means they've gone into idolatry and divination. The staff is a divination rod. "The spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. They played the harlot against their God. They committed spiritual adultery." All right. "They sacrifice on the mountaintops. They burn incense on the hills and the poplar and oaks. The shade is good." He said, because of this, it's a curse. "Their daughters will become whores, and their brides will commit adultery." He said, "I won't punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, or your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots, and they offer sacrifices with the ritual harlot." Now, ritual harlot was a priestess in the temple of Baal. It was actually just a fancy whorehouse. You went in and took an offering into the god, and you got to sleep with one of the priestesses. But this was a worship of the Canaanite religion. And they're supposed to give you... That was a fertility goddess and was supposed to give you good crops and a good year next year. The more you gave, the better crop you're supposed to get. And so you see, there is the curse. And there are the results. There's 16 things, there's eight things listed in there that are a result of that curse that will come down for the children to the third and the fourth generation from whoredom, spiritual, and sexual. Okay. Where does it talk about that in the New Testament? Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, and were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Possessing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and fools." So here they've committed idolatry. "Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped the creature rather than the creator. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions." God gave them up. He cursed them. "Their women exchanged the natural lust for that which is against nature. Likewise, the men leaving the natural lust of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in them the penalty for their error which was due. For even that they did not retain God as their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not fitting." And it goes on to say, they filled with a perverse spirit, and this is a perverse spirit. And you can read it, it's a horrible spirit. But it's a perverse spirit. That's the results of the curse of whoredom in the Old Testament. And it passes to the third and the fourth generation. We're seeing a great deal. We're seeing a great rise of that in our nation today. We're seeing a great rise in it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And there's the curse of incest. Let's look at Deuteronomy 23:3. 23:3 says, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation, and none of his descendants shall enter the congregation of the Lord forever." Well, You know that Ruth was a Moabitess. God granted her grace. But a Moabitess, the Moabites and the Ammonites were children of Lot by his daughters. Now, where did that work out in the Old Testament, in the New Testament? Well, let's look at Genesis 38. Go back to Genesis 38. And here we have a 30 verses, which I won't read. I would say that you can go back and read them if you like. But it concerns Judah, one of the sons of Israel, or Jacob. And Judah had three sons. And the first two were unpleasing to God. And they married a woman named Tamar. The first one married Tamar. He was unpleasing to God. He died. And so, in accordance with the custom of the day, the second son took her to raise up seed so that the first son's name would not be blotted out. And he spilled his seed on the ground, displeased God, and God struck him dead. He did not want to perform his duty of his brother to his brother, and so God struck him dead. That's what the Bible says. And so Judah said to Tamar, he said, why don't you go home, and when this other child here gets a little bit older, I'll call you back, and I'll give him to you. And he got to thinking, you know, two of my boys died with that woman. And so he gave it to somebody else, and she said, you know, and Tamar was over there wearing her widow's clothes waiting, and she said, you know, he's not going to give me that boy as a husband. And so she went down and disguised herself as a prostitute and sat by the road, and Judah came by and he saw her there, and he struck a deal with her, thinking she was a ritual prostitute, and left his staff and his signet as a deposit, promising to send her a young goat back. Well, when his friend got there with the goat, he couldn't find her any place. Nobody heard of any ritual prostitute out there by the road. And he said, well, she's got what she's got. And so later they told him, he said, your daughter-in-law is pregnant by being a whore. He said, well, bring her out. We're going to burn her up. And so she sent him the staff and the signet, said, thee by this man I am pregnant. And he said, and Judah was convicted. And so Tamar had his children, twins by incest, Perez. Now that's the story. Now I want you to turn to Matthew. Well, first, before we turn to that, let's look at one other thing. Let's look at Genesis 49. In Genesis 49, Jacob prophesied over his boys. And 49:10, he says about Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh comes, until Jesus comes. Judah is going to have the king. Judah was ordained to have the king. Now, everybody knows that the first king of Israel was not from Judah. It was from Benjamin. Saul was a Benjaminite. Y'all remember that? Why did God not keep his prophecy? Let's turn to Matthew 1 now. Here we have the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And it starts the genealogy of Christ the King. Of Christ the son of David. I'm sorry, son of Abraham. And it starts right here with Judah. Verse 3. Counting with Judah. Judah's one, Perez is two, Heron is three, Ram is four, Adimabab is five, Nashon is six, Salmon is seven, Boaz is eight, Obed is nine, Jesse is ten. The curse is gone. Now comes David the king. Count them out. It's a 10-generation curse for incest. Stopped God from using Judah for kingship until the curse had passed. He had to use one of the sons of Jesse. Not Jesse, but Jesse's son. Or any of the others. And so he chose a Benjaminite. Now what did the Benjaminite do to lose the kingdom? He disrespected the separation between the kingship and the priesthood. He said, only the sons of Levi, specifically the sons of Aaron, will stand before me and offer a sacrifice. Saul was, the Philistines were coming, the people were scattering, and Saul says, I felt compelled to offer, bring the peace offering. He didn't wait for Samuel, who was a priest, the son of Aaron, or the descendant of Aaron. He offered it himself. And Samuel said to him, God would have established your kingdom forever. But you chose to disrespect and take that which is not yours. Therefore, your kingdom will end. Then he refused. And then, after his incomplete obedience, he went out and anointed David. And then he went to the witch at Endor. And for the witch of Endor, going to the witch of Endor, he paid with his life. It says in 1 Samuel, God killed him because he went to the witch. God killed him because he went to the witch. Look it all up. It's all there. The curses. Praise you, Lord Jesus. The curse of the bastard is also in Deuteronomy 23:2. The curse of being illegitimate runs 10 generations. And there are all kinds of studies that show that illegitimacy bears terrible fruit in the family line. And you say, this is horrible. You mean that? And what the devil says, see, here's your heritage. Here's your heritage. Now, the devil knows the Bible better than you do. He said, here's your heritage. See all the sins your ancestors bore, I got a right to you. But Jesus said, you can say to him, he's got no right. No, you have no heritage here in my line. Because Jesus was made a curse for me. Let's look at Galatians. The cross ended the curse, if you claim it. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the heathen in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ redeemed you from that curse. He canceled the curse. Now you said, well, is that automatic? And great numbers of denominations will tell you that that is automatic. Well, I'm going to go over the exchanges made at the cross very shortly, and you will find that most of them are not automatic. That none of them. You've got to claim every one of them. You've got to claim them. Now, tell me something. If your relative dies up in Minnesota, and you hear that your relative's dead up there and left you $100,000, now that money is legally yours. But until you go up there with your birth certificate and prove who you are, that you got a legal right to that money and claim it, you're not going to see a penny of it. And the same is true for getting free of the curse. You got to claim it. You don't claim it, the devil will just act like you. He don't know who you are. He'll just keep right on using it. That money will stay up there, and the world system will use it, although it belongs to a child of the king, if they'll just go claim it. But you got to claim your deliverance from the curse. And you got to know what the curses are. That Steve Bell's got a book back there. He lists 126 of them. I only talked about two of them. You need to get the book, Breaking Free, and read the curses. And if you see in them, say, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive my ancestors that I might be delivered. Where in the Bible does it say you got to repent of the sins of your ancestors? Look at Leviticus 26. Let's look over here. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus 26:40 says, if they will confess the iniquity, their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their unfaithfulness, which they've been unfaithful to me, and they walk contrary to me. God says, if you will confess that. Daniel 9:20 says the same thing. Daniel got up and confessed and identified with the sins of Israel and the sins of his fathers. You need to identify with the sins of your fathers and confess them and ask God to wipe it out so that the curse might be broken. That's not going to change where they are or what happened to them, but it's sure going to change what happens to you and your children. I'm not saying that you can break the curse and affect someone who's dead, but you can sure affect the living. Romans 10:4 says Jesus Christ was the end of the law for righteousness. He's the end of the law for righteousness. What does that mean? That means that you cannot obtain righteousness by keeping the law. You can't do it. But you can obtain righteousness
by identifying with Jesus Christ, because he took your sin that you might have his righteousness. Now, the law is still God's will. Jesus said it was perfect. He said one dot and tittle will not pass away until it's fulfilled. He fulfilled the sacrificial requirements with a sacrifice once, never to be repeated. Now, there are some people who believe that when you have communion and they hold that cracker up and they break it, they're sacrificing Jesus again. That Jesus is being sacrificed again. And when that cracker's broken, grace comes out. More grace. And so to them, it doesn't really remember when, how many people come to the service. It's just as long as we have the service and break the cracker. And that grace binds the people to God. Well, I think that that's in error. Because the Bible says it was done once, never to be repeated. And that ended the sacrificial system. We got people who are slobbering at the mouth for the temple to be rebuilt on the mount over there so they can run over. And they said, when the minute it got rich, the first bunch going to be and go flying over there to offer a lamb is going to be a bunch of Pentecostals. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But that is the sacrificial system under the Levitical law has been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And you get your righteousness from him. All right. Now, rights. And so heritage. You can say, devil, you got no right. That heritage, I've been forgiven. Jesus has fulfilled that. He's broken the curses. The curses have been broken. I don't have to live under the curse of the law because Jesus has fulfilled that for me. And I break all those curses in the name of Jesus on me and my children forever. Got no heritage. You got no heritage here, devil. Not in my life. Now, rights. What are rights? I looked up rights in the dictionary, and boy, I tell you, rights got a lot of things. And they're talking about... But in the justice system, rights means one's authority or ability. The enemy has got no right in us because of the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross, at the atonement, certain exchanges were made. Jesus took certain things upon himself that we might have qualities that he possessed. Let's look at, let's turn to Isaiah 53. Now, we're going to stay in Isaiah 53 for a little while because there's so much in Isaiah 53. I'm just going to sort of skim over the surface of it. You have to understand, I can talk, I have a series of tapes on curses that's three tapes long, hour and a half tapes. Okay. And I have a curse on, I have tapes on the curse of whoredom. That's about an hour and a half. And sins of the fathers, I have two tapes on that. So I have just sort of skimmed over this. There's a lot of material there. There's a lot of material that you can get to help you. But I want you to know. Rights. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone is turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Now, what is iniquity? Iniquity is rebellion in all its evil consequences. It's rebellion against God in all its evil consequences. And there are lots of evil consequences from rebellion. But we'll just say that's all of them. And God laid all of that on Jesus Christ that we might have his peace. Jesus took the punishment that was due for us for our iniquities that we might have his peace, his shalom. The chastisement of our shalom was placed upon him on the cross. That's the first exchange that was made. The second exchange, Isaiah 53:4-5. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, elsewhere in the Bible, that word grief is translated illness. And it's translated illness in Micah. Come on, Lord. Micah 6, I think it is. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And has borne our grief, and borne our sorrows is our pain.
In the German Bible, that is, in the Scandinavian Bible, that's translated smell. Now, when they did the New International, and they did the New International, and they did the New American Standard, the Revised Standard, they changed a lot of things that shouldn't have been changed, but they didn't change this. Now, some of the newer translations say pain and infirmity. But Jesus bore all of our sickness and all of our pain that we might have His healing. Let's look at that. He was, we esteem, stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Now, 1 Peter says, by His stripes, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 says, by His stripes you were healed. That's an accomplished fact that Jesus took your sickness that you might be healed. Bore your pain. Okay. Number 3, Isaiah 53:10. It's Micah 6:16, yeah. Yet it pleased the Lord to crush him or bruise him and put him to grief. And Micah, it says, sickness. Okay. He bore our sickness that we might have his health. Now let's hold your finger in Isaiah and let's go back to Exodus. And look at a couple of the promises in Exodus. Let's go back to Exodus 15 first. And then we'll go to Exodus 15:26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments, keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rapha. Okay, let's go to Exodus 23, verse 25. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Verse 26, and no one shall suffer miscarriage, you'll be barren in your land. And know anybody that's having miscarriages and can't carry a baby to term? Go break the curse over them. It's a curse. It's a curse. Go break the curse over them. The promise of God, if they are a child of God, the promise is they won't have miscarriages. Okay? Now let's look at Deuteronomy 7. So here we have not healing, but He's going to give you divine health. He's going to take all sickness away. You won't get sick. That's better not to get sick. Now, see, if you get sick, it's fine to get healing, but it's better not to get sick. Okay, let's look in Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases in Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on those who hate you. 14 says, you shall be blessed above all people, and there shall be no male or female barren among you or your livestock. And so, sickness, God said He's going to heal you. The exchange made at the cross was that He was going to heal you if you got sick, and He was going to take all sickness away from you and all miscarriage and all barrenness. Now let's look at Isaiah 53:10. The past part of it, He said, when you make His soul an offering for sin. Now this isn't sins. This is not sinful acts. This sin, singular, means sin nature. And gave a soul offering for sin that you might have His righteousness. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So He took our sin nature that we might be set free and have the righteousness of God. We've already looked at Galatians 3:13, where He said He was made a curse for us that we might be delivered from the curse of the law, so we'll move on. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. Keep your finger in Isaiah. We'll come back to Isaiah in a minute. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. He took the curse of poverty listed in Deuteronomy 28 upon himself that we might have his riches. He took our poverty so that we might have riches. And the seventh exchange, Isaiah 53:12. Looking at the last part of the verse, because he poured out his soul unto death. He poured out his lifeblood, his soul, unto death, that we might have life. Look at Romans 6:6. Romans 6:6 is knowing this. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Be done away with means rendered inoperative. The body of sin is still there. It's just rendered inoperative. You don't have to obey it anymore. There was a time when the body of sin controlled you. If you walk in the flesh, the body of sin will still control you. But he who walks in the Spirit, the law of life in the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8:2. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So he died. He took his death, your death, that you might have life. You're a child of God. Look at Romans 8:15. He did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with us, our spirit, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. There's a price. Most people don't read the last part of that verse. They just quote the first part there. And so you become a child of God. You're not a citizen of this world anymore. Let's look at Colossians. Come on over to Colossians now. Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Into his kingdom, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Now let's look at Philippians. Turn back one to Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly await for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not a citizen of this world. Now let's look over at 2 Corinthians 5. And this 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we as ambassadors for Christ, you're an ambassador. You're not a citizen of this world, you're an ambassador. A consulate where an ambassador lives is considered part of the nation he's from. And the United States cannot send troops into the English embassy. Or to the Iranian embassy, or to any other embassy, because that is part of England or Iran or whichever country it is. And they've got troops of theirs armed that can stand and fight. And if the ambassador gets threatened, he can call on the armed forces of his government to come to his aid. Now, you're an ambassador of God. And you have the full authority to call on the entire armed forces of the Lord Jesus Christ, the armies of heaven, to come to your defense if the enemy invades your land. Now, if you are out of your embassy, I mean, if you're over here in the enemy's land, he got different rights. But if you're standing here, then he has got no right. And so you see, the enemy has no rights to you. The exchange is made at the cross, has set you free from the law of sin and death, and translated you into the kingdom of God. as an ambassador of Christ with the full authority to call on the armed forces. Jesus said, I give you all authority has been given to me and I delegate it to you. He said, you abide in me and I'll abide in you. Well, how do you abide in him? He says, anybody who keeps my laws, by this you will know that they love me and they will abide in me and I will abide in them. He says, anybody who hates his brother abides in darkness and there's no love in him. You can't hate even one brother. Not one. If you hate somebody, get right with them. Because I'm going to tell you, you don't abide in Christ if you hate someone. Jesus said, how can you hate your brother who you've seen and say you love your father who you have not seen? He said, love. He said, you got anything against your brother? And you come to the altar with a gift? Set it aside. Go get right with your brother. Now, Paul says, as much as it is possible, I will live in peace with all people. Now, what does that mean? It means if you've got a real contention with a brother, and you go to him and you try to settle it. You know, y'all had a horrible fight. And you go to him and you say, please forgive me. I'm sorry for what I did to you. Please forgive me. I want to be right with you. Now, if he doesn't want to forgive you, that's his problem. And you don't have to say, well, I know it was all your fault. I'm going to forgive you. You see, all you're doing there is stirring up strife. You want to go and say, forgive me. Humble yourself. Don't be proud. God gives grace to the humble. Go humble yourself. Say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. What can I do to make it right? If at all possible, I'll make it right to you. Now, they may put something impossible to man. You say, I can't do that. But I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If they forgive you, fine. If they don't, you've done all you can. They're the ones that are locked up in jail. Now you start praying for them that they will come out of the jailhouse. And as you pray for them, God will set you free. But if you've got that unforgiveness, you're locked up in the jailhouse. You know, Matthew 18 says, let's look at Matthew 18. I talked to the men about this earlier this morning, but let's look at it. Turn to Matthew 18. This is the parable of the unforgiving servant. And it's so rich. Verse 34 says, the master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors. That's what this one says. The old King James says the torturers. The New International says they put him in jail. The New American Standard said the tormentors. That he should pay all was due to him. And so my Heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now you want to be in God's jailhouse or somebody's jailhouse. Maybe the, I don't know whose jailhouse it is, but it's not a very comfortable place to be with the tormentors and the torturers. And the way you get out of that jailhouse is you forgive as an act of your will. And then you sit down and you pray for that person. But we'll get to that in a minute because that is covered under memorial. So the enemy's got no right as long as you're walking in the Spirit, as long as there's no sin in your life. Now, if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You make a sin, confess it in a hurry. Don't let the sun go down on your sin. I think that, you know, God says don't let the sun go down on your anger. My understanding is that the Hebrew day starts at sunset. And what God says is don't let a new day start when you got sin in your life. Get rid of that sin before the new day starts. I think things are done on a 24-hour basis. You know, he says, give us this day our daily bread. You've got 24 hours. You got till sunset. Don't let the sun go down on your sin. Best not let it, when you sin, immediately repent. Somebody asked me about a lying spirit. And I said, the way you get rid of a lying spirit's rooted in pride, is when you lie, you look at that person and say, you know, that's not true. I lied to you. Would you please forgive me? You do that 3 or 4 times. You humble yourself like that 3 or 4 times, and you'll get rid of that lying spirit. You'll quit lying. But you have to be willing to say, I lied. Forgive me. Humble yourself. Break that haughty spirit in you. Now, you can go run to the pastor and say, I lied to him, pastor. And the pastor going to pray with you. Oh, confess that sin.
But that lying demon will sit down and laugh at you. Now, God will wash that sin clean, but the demon is still there, and you're going to lie again and again and again and again. Till it gets to the point that your conscience is seared with a hot iron, and you don't think it's sin anymore. I mean, you folks know somebody lies all the time. I mean, rather crawl up in a tree and tell a lie than stay on the ground and tell the truth. I mean, you know folks like that. I mean, you just have to feel sorry for them. They got a lying demon. Praise you, Lord. Memorial. Now, what does memorial mean? Memorial means serving to help people remember some person or event. Let's look at Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and always me bless his holy name. Bless my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities, heals all your disease, redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Those are the benefits of God. Okay? And you go on down, and he keeps talking about these wonderful things, how good God is. And on verse 12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. That's a long way. If you travel east, you won't ever get to west. You will just keep right on turning. Now, if you go north, you know, you'll eventually get to the North Pole and start south. But if you travel east, you won't ever get to west. You just keep right on traveling. It's an infinite distance. Now, praise your Lord Jesus. Hebrews 10:17 says, let's look at Hebrews 10:17. I think this is very important. 10:17, he says, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Once you confess your sin, truly confess your sin and turn from it, God wipes the slate clean. He said, I will remember it no more. Isaiah 43:25. Let's look at that. Isaiah 43:25 said, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. And Micah 7:19 says, I will throw them into the depths of the sea. And there's another scripture that says, I will throw them behind my back. But I can't recall it right now. I'm sure Brother Tommy knows where it is if he was here. But God, once you have truly turned from your sin and forgotten it, he doesn't have a memorial for that sin. Now, the devil's got a memorial. And he'll keep bringing it up to you. Oh, you think you're so good. What about this? And what about this? And what about that? And you got this little replay demon up there. Got that little replay demon, memory recall demon. He just keeps playing a tape every day. And you mad at somebody. Somebody hurts you real bad. And you just angry with them. And that little memory, he just plays that tape over and over. And as the poet Robert Burns said, there you are nursing your anger to keep it warm. Want to remember it and keep it warm. That poem was a woman who was waiting for her husband to come home from the bar, and she was sitting there scowling, nursing her anger to keep it warm so she'd be good and mad when he got home. And that's what the devil does to you. He nurses your anger, plays that memory recall over and over and over again. And what you have to say is, devil, that's under the blood. Jesus Christ has covered that. He doesn't remember it anymore, and you're not going to keep bringing it up to me. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now, when you bind that bugger, God will whoop him off. And the devil will put another one right like him, right there. And he'll keep on going. And you just bind him, too. And you bind 8 or 10 of them a day, you know. And after a while, the devil don't have an infant supply of demons. You know, after a while, he figures he got to come at you some other way because he's expending all his ammunition. He's not getting anywhere. And so his method, he will bring in another method. He will quit bringing it to your mind because he can sit on your shoulder and shoot it in there, you know. Watchman Nee says that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them roost in your hair. Now, the devil, he can shoot those thoughts out there through your head. You don't have to let them stay there, though. You can say, I bind your name, get out of here. That doesn't belong to me. You got no memorial in my life.
I put that under the blood. I've forgiven those people. I've made it right. You're not going to keep me in jailhouse for that. And God will set you free. And you keep praying and asking God to bless those people, God will set you free. The devil will try to bring it back to you, but you don't have to take it. You don't have to accept it. He's got no memorial in your life. 1 John 1:8-10 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:6 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. Now let's look at another one. Hebrews 9:12. And I think this is a very important one because it brings up a concept that most people... 9:12. Okay. It starts off, 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having attained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. Now that ashes of the heifer speaks of the red heifer offering, in which a red heifer was burned outside the camp. The ashes were gathered up and kept, and someone became sanctimonially unclean. The priest took some of those ashes, put it in water, and sprinkled them on them. That's where you get the holy water business today. And that made them ceremonially clean again. He said, if that sanctified the flesh, the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse your conscience. You won't remember it anymore. You don't have to feel guilty anymore. Guilt and condemnation comes from the devil. You feel guilt and condemnation after you put it on the blood, bind him. He's got no right or memorial in your life. You don't have to walk through life feeling guilty and condemned because of past sin that you placed under the blood. If you've made it right, you don't have to do that. The blood of Jesus Christ will purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He's got no memorial in your life. He's got no heritage because Jesus became a curse to set you free from the curses of your fathers. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make you a child of God. An ambassador with all of the authority to call God's army to your defense. As long as you walk in the Spirit. As long as you stay out of the devil's territory. And you've got no memorial. You don't have to be beaten down because of the sins of the past. Because of indiscretions of the past that you placed under the blood and made right. And the devil will try to condemn you. Speak to him. Tell him who you are. And he's got no right to you. Now, people, I have skimmed the surface. All of these subjects I've talked about, I've got exchange on the cross, I have 10 hours. It takes 10 hours for me to really go in depth in that. I just gave you a brief overview. Curses, the same. Rights, memorials the same. But I want you to know who you are in Jesus Christ. That you, if you humble yourself, if you come to God, wanting to change, remembering that deliverance is not an event in your life, it's a walk, that you're going to walk it out, and you want to change for God, then the devil can't stand in your way. You will have victory over him. Now remember, he said, I will not run out the Ammonites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, I think it was, all in one day. But you keep walking, and he'll push them out before you. He'll give you as much deliverance as you can walk in. And when you walk that out, he'll give you more until you come on to that day, that glorious day, when you say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Praise your name, Lord. Let's all stand up. It's already been said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure, and you all have been sitting for over an hour. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's all praise him a little bit.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jump up and down a little bit and get your blood circulating. Get the blood back up to your head. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise your holy name. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we praise your name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to lead you all in a prayer, a renunciation prayer. And we're going to break some curses. And then we're going to tie a can on the devil's tail. We'll run him out of here. And you can decide, you can make a choice. You can choose between your dignity and your demons. And if you think that something's going to happen, it's going to embarrass you, and you just hold on to them and don't let them go, that's your choice. But I tell you, you can get your dignity back. But let your demons go. Let them go, because you can get your dignity back. We all love you here, and we want to see you free. And so when you have something coming up, let it come. Let it go. Don't press it down. If it starts screaming out of you, let it go. Somebody, one of us will come over and we will help you. And we will speak to it and take authority over it. Get rid of it. You don't want it in your life. Don't suppress it. Just sit there and say, what happens, happens, oh Lord, if that's in me. Don't pick and choose. Say, oh, I may have that. I don't have that. And you just say, if it's in there, Lord, get it out of me. I don't want anything in me that's not of you. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, died on the cross for my sin, was buried, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. He is my Lord and Master, my Redeemer, kinsman. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a member of the kingdom of God, an ambassador of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I break any ungodly soul ties to anyone who's ever dominated me or controlled me in any fashion contrary to the will of God. I break any ungodly soul ties to the past, to fornication, to sexual impurities, to lustful thoughts, to pornography, to idolatry, to the occult, in any form. I break these. I break the curses. And I ask forgiveness on the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, your word says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in condemnation, I shall refute. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And my righteousness is from you. Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, I confess that I have resented certain people. I do now, as an act of my will, forgive any of those who've hurt me. Now, people, we have to personalize this now. I want you just to sit, and if the Holy Spirit brings up anybody, you very quietly forgive them under your breath, but you need to put it in the airways, but just quietly put it in the airways. And if he brings up 10 people, give them, just name them very quietly, but forgive them. Anybody that's ever hurt you. Anybody that you hold, that you're mad at, that you're angry with,
that you've got aught in your heart against in any way, praise you, Lord Jesus. Forgive them now. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I do forgive.
And ask you
to give me grace.
Remove the pain.
Purge my conscience
from dead works
to serve the living God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I come to you now.
You know that thing
that binds me,
that hurts me.
Lord Jesus,
set me free.
Your word says.
In Joel 2:32,
anyone
calls upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
I call upon you, Lord Jesus.
Set me free now.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody sit down now.
Everybody sit down and keep both feet on the floor. Please do not cross your fingers, your arms, or your feet. You know, when you were a little kid, you said if you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell the truth. That's a satanic symbol. The devil will use that to say that you really don't want these things out. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, devil, I come against you. I bind all the spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected children. These are children of God. The Word of God says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. These people have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Rejection, fear of rejection, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break your authority in your life. And I say, come out. All rejection, fear of not being loved, fear of not being wanted, fear of not being good enough. I break all rejection, all fear in the name of Jesus. Come out now. Come out now. For He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Come out. All fear, all timidity, all rejection. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All rejection. Rejection by mother. Rejection by father. Rejection by peers. Rejection by friends. Rejection by girlfriends. Rejection by wife. Rejection by children. Come out. All rejection. Rejection. I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave God's children. All rejection, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellion, come out. Rebellion against God's law. Rebellion, rebellion. I bind you, all rebellion. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft, come out. All rebellion and bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness, the root of bitterness, come out in the name of Jesus. I break the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. Come out. Come out, bitterness, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all bitterness, bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. All marrow, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All rebellion and bitterness, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, 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 out. I pull the knife of betrayal out of their backs. I pull the hairs out of their heart. All bitterness and rebellion, come out, come out. All fear of not being loved, fear of not being good enough. All compulsive spirits, all spirits of compulsion and perfection, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All perfectionist spirits, come out. All spirits of being orderly and perfectionist, I come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and command you to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come on out. Out, out, out. All perfection, all intolerance, impatience, come out. Come out, all spirits of intolerance, impatience, anger, and rage. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out, come out, come out. All praise you, Lord Jesus. All spirits of lust, lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust, lust, greed, 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 desire for money, jealousy, and anger, and rage. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All greed, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All self-fixation, greed, I bind the spirit of pride, haughty spirits. The spirit of haughtiness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All haughty spirits, come out. I break your authority in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pride, the haughty spirits, the high spirits, the arrogant spirits, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All spirits of lying, lying spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the lie, all spirits of the tale teller, all spirits of the exaggeration, all spirits of lying, all spirits of little lie, big lie, white lie, simple lie, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Fishing tales, come out. All spirits of fishing tales, hunting tales, come out. The tale teller, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of exaggeration, come out. Come out. All ecclesiastical spirits, come out. Lying spirits, the ecclesiastical spirits, come out. Come out. Bondage ecclesiastical spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All Pharisee spirits. All spirits of the Pharisee. All spirits condemning spirits. I speak to the condemning spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, condemning spirits. Spirits of condemnation in the name of Jesus. For there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Come out, you lying spirits. Come out, you tale-bearing spirits. Come out, you sigh spirits. Come out, you gossiping spirits. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, you false witness spirits. Come out. All spirits, all curses came in, that have come in from the false witness, I break them in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fear and insecurity, come out. All spirits of little me, poor me, oh me, hurt me. Praise your Lord. All spirits of deep hurt, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Poor me spirits, come out. Oh, little me spirits, come out. Little girl spirits, come out. Little boy spirits, come out. Come out, little boy, little girl. Come out of these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bulimia, come out. In the name of Jesus, I break you in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the little boy spirit, the little girl spirits in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All Pharisee spirits, come out. All religious spirits, come out. All spirits of condemnation, self-condemnation, accusation. All spirits of accusation, self-accusation, self-defeat, come out. Defeatist spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All spirits of deception, deceiving spirits, I break your authority. Self-deception, unteachable spirits, come out. All spirits of being unteachable, come out. All deceiving spirits, come out. Spirits of deception, I bind you. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All deceiving spirits, come out. Self-deception, come out. Stubborn spirits, unteachable spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, stubbornness, unteachableness. Strong will. Come out. Strong will. Can't teach them anything. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Can't tell them anything. They know everything. Come out. All-knowing spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus. All of you. All of you in the name of Jesus. Come out there. Come out. Come out. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Drive them out now. Drive them out. All spirits of fornication, sexual lust, sexual impurity, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name. Praise you, Lord. I speak to spirits of sexual lust. I break your authority. Speak to that person who's addicted to pornography. I break the power of pornography. In the name of Jesus Christ. I break it now. I break the curse of pornography. I break the curse of perverseness in the name of Jesus. I bind the curse of perverseness and pornography in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave quietly in the name of Jesus. You shall not tear this person in the name of Jesus. And I bind the spirits of perverseness, of sexual perverseness in the name of Jesus. I bind all the lesbian spirits and the homosexual spirits in the name of Jesus. I command them to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Set them free, Lord. Set your people free now. Set them by your Spirit, Lord God. By your Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You bore all their infirmities and all their sorrows and all their sickness and all their pain. I bind the spirits of arthritis now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of arthritis and the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. And I say, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Just come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of migraine headaches and witchcraft control and domination in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of migraine headaches and the witchcraft demon that keeps it there to manipulate the family. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I bind that witchcraft demon. I bind that witchcraft mind control. I isolate it from all other spirits, control, no power or authority from any other spirit, can communicate with no other spirit, and I command it to come out in the name of Jesus. Migraine headaches, leave now. Sinus headaches, leave now in the name of Jesus. Asthma, leave now. Come out. I break the authority of asthma and sinus trouble and hay fever and allergies in the name of Jesus Christ. I break them in the name of Jesus. I bind glaucoma in the name of Jesus and blindness and deafness and Meniere syndrome. I break the power of Meniere syndrome. I break the power of deafness in the name of Jesus. I bind them and I curse them to their roots and I command them to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to God's people in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of vertigo and labyrinthitis in the name of Jesus Christ and command them to go in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of root canal in the name of Jesus, of abscess teeth in the name of Jesus, of pyorrhea, and I break the curses and I command them to go in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind thyroidism and hypothyroidism and glaucoma in the name of Jesus and be gone in the name of Jesus and myxedema and Graves' disease. Be gone in the name of Jesus and Hashimoto's disease. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. Go! I bind thyroiditis in the name of Jesus. And I bind asthma and bronchospastic reactive airway disease and emphysema and pneumonia in the name of Jesus and bronchitis in the name of Jesus. And I command them to be gone. Go! And I break the curse of gastritis and a peptic ulcer in the name of Jesus. And I bind peptic ulcer and I bind duodenitis and I bind gastritis and I bind Crohn's disease and I bind colitis in the name of Jesus. And I command them to leave these people. And I bind all cystitis in the name of Jesus Christ, all vaginitis, all histitis in the name of Jesus. And I break the curse of human papilloma disease in the name of Jesus Christ. I curse them to their roots and command them to leave. I break chlamydia's authority. I bind chlamydia. I bind gonorrhea in the name of Jesus. And command them to leave. And chancroid, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I bind AIDS. I bind stroke and heart attack in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of stroke and heart attack. And I speak healing to God's people in the name of Jesus. Bind diabetes in the name of Jesus. And arthritis and high blood pressure in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. I bind premature aging and balding in the name of Jesus Christ. And I break the power of balding in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Go. Go in the name of Jesus. All of you. Go, go, go. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, touch your people. Lord, I stand here now. Release your spirit to come down, Lord. Let your anointing flow, Lord. It is an anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. Break the yoke of bondage now, Lord. Bondage to drugs. Bondage to alcohol. Bondage to cigarettes. Bondage to caffeine. Bondage to coke. Bondage to food. Bondage to gluttony. Bondage to vomiting. Bondage to bulimia. Bondage to anorexia. I break the authority of bondage over these people. For they cried out in bitterness because bondage brings bitterness, Lord. I break the authority of bitterness. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool. And I break the authority of bondage. You didn't give us a spirit of bondage, Lord God. But you gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I break bondage in the name of Jesus. Bondage, turn them loose. Come out, bondage. Come out in the name of Jesus. I break your yoke. Oh, let your anointing come down and rot that yoke, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. By your stripes, Lord God. Hallelujah. I bind the spirits of nicotine and alcohol and pharmacomia. I break sorcery. I break the curse of sorcery in the name of Jesus. Send your spirit, Lord God. Oh, God, I thank you for it. Praise your holy name.
I bind the spirit of cancer and tumors and brain tumors in the name of Jesus Christ, and Irvin sarcoma in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ, and I break their authority. I bind the spirit of leukemia. I hold Ray up to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I ask for mercy and grace and bind that spirit of leukemia in the name of Jesus, Lord. We bind it and we curse it to its roots and we speak healing to Ray in the name of Jesus, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, let your spirit go forth. Thank you for it, Lord, and touch your people. Hallelujah. Anybody got anything else? Anybody got anything else they want to bind? If not, let's stand up and praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Him with a loud voice, with a loud shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Him with a hallel, a loud boisterous shout. Praise your Lord. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, let your anointing come down and fill every vessel, Lord. Let your anointing come down and fill them, Lord. From the crown of the head to the sole to the feet, Lord. Send your war angel and bind up all these loose demons and haul them off the property, Lord God. And fill them, Lord God. Bind in and haul out any loose ones and haul them off, Lord God. Any stragglers, Lord. Get them with your angels, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Put the hook of the Holy Ghost into them and drag them out of there in the name of Jesus. Haul them off to the pit, Lord God. Fill these people now with your anointing. Let it flow into them, Lord God. Lord, release the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord to come forth. Thank you for it, Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.